In the very last psalm, the 150th psalm, we read this. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praising Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. In this particular psalm, we find that the psalmist understood the importance of praising God, and also how important music is as an integral part of worshiping God. And while in this particular psalm he addresses musical instruments of all sort, we fully understand that that was under the old law, a time when, at best, God tolerated many things. But now, under His new law, His law of grace, He has given us specific instructions as to how to worship Him where song is concerned. In Ephesians chapter 5, and in verse number 19, we read that we are to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. In Colossians chapter 3, and in verse number 16, Colossians chapter 3 and in verse number 16, Paul said to that congregation that the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then there's Paul writing to the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 15, dealing with some abuses concerning proper worship to God and proper attitudes. And he says, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. In each of one of these passages, in every passage of Scripture in which we are instructed as to how to worship God, singing, and singing only, is addressed within the New Testament. Never are we instructed to worship Him with instrumental music. Rather than that, as you read in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 19, it is to be an instrument of the heart. And that's why we don't use instrumental music in our worship to God. God is not worshipped with man's hands as though He needed anything. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 25. But that's why it is also emphasized that it is important that in this, every one of the songs that we sing, it has to be based upon the Word of God. For we must sing with the Spirit and with the understanding. And we must teach and admonish one another in song and hymn and spiritual song. And if you cannot accurately present a message in a song, if it is not according to God's Word, we should not sing that song. Think about what we have dealt with in our lesson tonight, in our singing. We were told that this world is not my home. As we began, there were two songs addressing our need to turn to God. We were told to be with me, Lord, I cannot live without thee. And right after that, another song, a pleading with God, and with Jesus, requesting that He hold my hand. We continue to serve our Lord faithfully throughout this life, hoping that one day we will gather at the river. Knowing that after we stand before God in judgment, if we have been faithful, we will spend eternity in Him where the roses never fade. Nevertheless, we continue to live our lives while upon this earth, understanding that there is an eye that is watching you. We understand that while we are on this earth, the hope that we have is because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And oh, what amazing grace our God and Father demonstrated in sending Him to this earth. We are reminded of how in Gethsemane alone, He suffered in agony and He prayed in agony, ready to go to the cross. And that is why we sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." That is why we view Jesus as our rose of Sharon. And thus we faithfully live our lives throughout this life, understanding that we look for the Christian's welcome home when the roll is called up yonder, hoping to be there. And on Jordan's stormy banks we stand, a symbol of death ready to cross over. With hope, we know that we can look to Him, that He will lead us, lest we stray through this life and into the next. And it is because of that that we trust and obey. In conclusion, I want you to turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 14 and in verse number 3, where we find the scene in heaven of 144,000 who are standing before God along with the Lamb, that is the Son of God. And while we understand that this letter is highly figurative, we are told there that they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. You go a couple of chapters over in Revelation chapter 15, and in verse number 3, there we read of those who are victorious over the beast, those who are wicked in this world. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. This too is followed by great praise. And while we do not know exactly what our worship in heaven is going to be like, from passages such as these, we find a clue into the character of our spending eternity with God. It will be a time and a place of worship where we will together sing praises to God, sing praises to His name throughout all of eternity. And may we with great anticipation look forward to that eternal home in heaven with God, knowing that occasions such as this, when we assemble together with saints of like precious faith, and we sing songs of praise to God, and songs that are true to His Word, we simply have a taste of what is yet to come. Don't you want to be a part of heaven when this life is over, enjoying for all of eternity those who have been faithful throughout their lives? That will only happen if you are willing to obey the gospel. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Let me encourage you to repent of your sins, confess Him as the Son of God, and be immersed in a watery grave, having your sins washed away. Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Why not do that this evening? And then as a child of God, faithfully serve Him. Assemble with the saints. Build one another up, being encouraged, so that as we go through this life, when we face trials and tribulations, we can overcome those things. Now from time to time, we will stumble. We will fall. We will sin. We will leave undone things that we ought to do, and we will do things we ought not to do. We're told in God's Word on those occasions that if we repent, and if we go to God in prayer confessing our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. If you have sin in your life as a child of God, make yourself right with Him, looking forward to that home in heaven. Maybe as a result of that which you've done, you need to publicly confess your sins as a part of your repentance. If so, you have opportunity. Or maybe you just need our prayers. Whatever your need is.